Welcome back to Quiver, the Green Arrow podcast for episode 16, Dead to Rights. I'm one of your hosts, Amanda Konkin.
And I'm your other host, Michael Gowan.
It's nice to be back with you for this really awesome episode of Arrow that is making me really excited. I just can't wait to like watch it again.
Sounded really like radio host, like this really awesome episode.
Well, it was. I don't know.
We're going to play this really groovy track right after this word from our sponsor.
It was a good episode.
It was awesome. I'm just going to give you some direction here. I just want it to come from more of like a guttural, real, sincere place. I know that you really feel that way. I know you do, but it sounded very put on. I just want everybody out there to know that we're not faking it. This was actually an awesome episode. Like, if it didn't mean me having to go in and bleep it, I would swear right now.
Yeah.
In order to express how awesome this episode was. Yeah. But since I'm a lazy editor, I'm not going to do that, and I'm just going to explain it in a very convoluted manner.
I think people would have appreciated the bleep more. Oh, no, so it's awesome, and we're excited to be here to talk to you about it.
That was more sincere.
It is. I'm trying to get really good at the intros, so it messes me up for everything else.
This is the thing about the intros. Note to all podcasters out there, you gotta be natural, because the audience can hear it when you're rehearsed, right?
You know what? It is natural. Let's read some emails, Mike. I'm natural. I just have a weird cadence to my voice sometimes. Doesn't make it any less true.
A weird, unnatural
cadence. Okay, fine. Maybe I'm just unnatural. Okay. Anyways, so this is one of the last episodes before a mini hiatus. So that's our news, that we get a little break, which is kind of sad. But it's good. Hopefully this episode is going to tide you over for a couple weeks until we're back in March. And we've got some exciting things coming up, obviously.
It was almost like a mid season.
Yeah.
A mid second half to the season finale. Like the way this episode ended and all the stuff that happened in this episode, it's like, really? 2 weeks? You're gonna make us wait 2 weeks? Yeah. And then you're gonna come back with a Huntress episode, which we know isn't really gonna be part of the main story, and it's they're driving me a little crazy. But but before we talk about this week, let's read this email that's a lot about last week's episode that clears up some stuff. So this is from Amon? I don't know how to pronounce that, but...
Mon.
Sure. Amon Glenn, who says, it's about Arrow, about Dodger. He says, sup, Arrowheads.
Yeah, Arrowheads.
I was just listening to the newest episode of Quiver and heard Michael say he wasn't sure who Dodger was supposed to be from the comics, but hoped he was going to come back. And considering what happened in episode 12, there is a good chance he will. In the comics, Dodger was a thief that stole various things, from diamonds to super weapons, and sold them to fences. Green Arrow and Company, Black Canary, Connor Hawk, and Speedy, to be exact, tracked him down after they linked him to an aircraft that attacked Ollie after he was brought back to life for the second time. That's a long story, apparently. They found out that he stole it and sold it to the League of Assassins, a group you may remember from the Dark Knight movies. Except it wasn't the real League of Assassins. It was a group of Q-list supervillains gathered by Shadow to kill Oliver. Then he puts in parentheses, I think. I didn't read the entire story. But we trust you. Shadow, as you may or may not remember, is the daughter of Yao Fei in Arrow. Her and Green Arrow were archers that were kind of allies, but also kind of not.
Ooh.
She helped track down a serial killer, but she also raped him. So they aren't really great friends. Anywho, Dodger could possibly come back for something related to Shadow in the future. P.S. Good podcast, guys. So thank you for that. Thank you for clearing up all of that
and giving us
the education that we required.
Wow.
Not great stuff is going to happen, I think, between Yao Fei's daughter and Oliver.
That's setting up a great... You want to see what's going on, because obviously they brought her in there for a reason. You see the tattoos that are matching. You want to know what's going on there. So that is some great insight to what might happen. these upcoming...
I also like what he's put in here about the League of Assassins, because we brought up the League of Assassins previously, mm-hmm. and that this the group, the Cult of the Squiggly Line, may be linked to something like the League of Assassins, if not the League of Assassins themselves. And I think what we've got here, what this points to, is that we could find out at some point that they're the League of Assassins, but that they're not actually the League of Assassins. Oh. And it could be a group of supervillains made up of, as he puts them, these the Q-list supervillains, which is to say a bunch of Oliver, like of Green Arrow level supervillains.
Right.
So yeah, that's interesting, yes. And I think we're gonna have to wait and see. There's not a lot of episodes left. I mean, we're at episode, what is this?
16.
So, man, there's only a few episodes of the season left.
You know what? I would love them is if they were setting that up to be something that we dealt with next season.
In
maybe,
season two.
Right? And maybe, yeah. Because I don't think that we're going to wrap up everything on the island this season. Obviously. There's, right?
I think he could get off the island.
Yeah.
Because there is the aspect of the Russian mafia mm-hmm. thing. There is mm-hmm. the aspect of him being able to speak Cantonese in a perfect Chinese accent. So there's a lot of stuff that can happen off island.
Yeah.
And it's 5 years, right?
Yeah,
so we know that he's spent about, I would say at this point, he's probably getting close to I mean, we knew that he'd already spent, what did he say, a few episodes?
A couple months or a couple weeks on the island? Was it like 15 weeks or something?
Yeah, so he's been there for a while.
Yeah.
And we know that the next airplane won't be there for 3 months after the one right. that they missed their opportunity on. So he'll probably be there for about a year and then get off, I would think. Hopefully with Yao Fei
yeah.
and Shido.
Which is good. This is exciting.
And we'll see next season
yeah.
some of this other stuff happen yeah. between them. But
that'd be great.
I think one of the other things that somebody else had written in to talk about, to mention, when they had mentioned Shido earlier, it might have been Amon as well, is that Oliver has a son with her from that unfortunate incident that was mentioned earlier.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh,
so because
we didn't talk about that. That's crazy.
Well, because Oliver does have a son,
right.
But then maybe I think he's also got like another like estranged son sort of situation as well.
Interesting. Wow.
So
lots can
yeah,
happen. That's
it's,
exciting.
There's a lot of
Holy.
Continuity for Green Arrow.
Wow.
And so far I feel like we've only really gotten continuity from like the last couple of decades. They haven't really gone back into the older mm-hmm. stuff, but good to have that bit cleared up on Dodger. I do think that we will see him back
mm-hmm.
especially after Deadshot coming back this week.
Mm-hmm.
Deadshot took an arrow to the eye and was seemingly dead, so
yeah.
the fact that he's come back mm-hmm. I think that Dodger simply being knocked out at the end mm-hmm. of last week's episode, there's a pretty good chance that we'll see him again, especially as I said with the actor that portrayed him.
Yeah.
That's not gonna be a one and done character, right. I don't think. I think he'll come back for something interesting in the future.
Cool. So let's transition to this week then. Obviously, we love people getting in their emails right after they watch it. And we just have to, I mean, Ramona Lee, a great email sent in today. With a great subject line, OMG! Exclamation mark. Do not read until the episode is done again! Exclamation mark. Which is good, because anything that has OMG in the title,
yeah.
I think, is worth it's worth reading. So here she goes. This week's episode was amazing, and much to my dismay, wow, let's start that again. Hey. This week's episode was amazing, and much to my dismay, we'll have to wait X amount of weeks to get a new episode. This episode actually made me feel for Merlin. He didn't seem so bad until the last 2 minutes, and then he seemed to go loopy with the I met a man speech. He sounded like he joined a cult, possibly of the squiggly lines. I can't believe the amount of revelations in this episode, especially for Tommy. He learned a lot more about Merlin and about Oliver. I just hope he isn't drawn in by his dad. I am still not feeling Oliver's girlfriend, whose name is escaping me at the moment. If she's no longer Oliver's love interest, it wouldn't bother me one bit. I don't know if she knows who the vigilante really is. I loved the fight between Arrow and China White. She actually got rid of the heels and fought, unlike other female action heroes. Anyways, excellent episode, and I cannot wait until the podcast. It's exciting. So lots of things in here from Ramona pointing out.
Yeah.
So I love that line with the, he joined a cult, possibly of the squiggly lines. Yeah. So alluding to the fact that we obviously get it that Merlin, again, with the cue in his line, that you know that he changed in those 2 years that he was away, and it has something to do with what's going on with the Undertaking and all this stuff. So we really, I do think that that's where the crux of the cult of squiggly lines comes from and why he's bringing it into all these other people. So we just got to figure out what that is. Tommy, I think that that's the biggest thing this episode.
Yeah.
There is just,
huge.
It was a big thing for Tommy and unexpected. I did not expect Tommy to find out in this episode.
We did not see that coming.
Especially considering that they brought in, I thought Alex Kingston, seeing Alex Kingston's name in the credits in the beginning made me think, oh, this is going to be the big thing this episode. That's why everybody's so excited about it. But no, it was the fact that...
That's what I thought as well, because we got a lot of emails.
Yeah.
And they were very excited emails this week. But
it was something completely...
Like, right after the episode, but...
And the part that she says, I hope he isn't drawn in by his dad, you got a little bit at the end, right? Yeah. Where he's really connecting with his father in a way that hadn't, right? It's the transition. This was a Tommy-centric episode, which is good. Anyways, we'll talk about this more as the episode goes back. I just want to talk down here, the Arrow and China White fight, again, really awesome. And I like what you point out, the idea that she really is sort of kicking butt and taking names. And she... We didn't see what happened to her at the end, right?
No, she got away.
Which is kind of cool. She's coming in and out of these episodes, and I really like that consistency. So, lots of other things we'll talk about.
I like that one of the people that he's had the most trouble with is a woman. Like, it shows, just shows a really cool, like, we've talked about it tons on the show, that this show puts, you know, it shows that chicks can be just as hardcore as guys, which I really like.
Yeah, it's kind of, and it's not a thing. Like, it's not that she's a woman. It's just that she's China White and she's pretty awesome.
But it's not.
And also, I agree with you. I mean, McKenna is sort of who she is, and we'll see what's going on there.
I like McKenna. I really like that. I like the actress. I like the character.
I mean, I like
what they're setting up. And I said to you while we were watching the episode, I don't think she's going to make it out of the season. Oliver needs a reason to be angsty and dark and twisty and all that sort of thing. So
that'd be a good reason.
I wouldn't be surprised if she doesn't find out and then meets with an unfortunate fate because of her knowledge that he's the vigilante. Possibly at the hands of Merlin. Probably at the hands of Merlin.
That'd be,
because I think that would give you some good motivation for that rivalry to sort of get deeper. Because right now it's just a matter of Merlin is upset with the vigilante for sort of getting in the way of all of their plans with the Undertaking. But it needs to be more personal. It needs to be personalized. And I think that's one of the things that they're driving towards right now with Tommy finding out and with Tommy being put in the middle of these two characters.
I love what they're doing, and I'm sorry, we'll talk about it when we actually get watching the episode, but they're putting all these layers. If you'll notice, Detective Lance has been in these last two episodes for a very small amount of time, and very subtly, but very importantly, poking at Oliver. And today's episode, when he is talking to Tommy in the end, he knows that Tommy knows, even though Tommy didn't know he knew, right? Like, it's this thing where he knows. Anyway.
Well, let's just be really clear. Everybody knows, with the exception of Moira and Thea. I think they're and Diggle's Diggle's sister-in-law or whatever.
I think that Laurel doesn't fully know.
Oh, yeah,
know.
Laurel doesn't.
Laurel doesn't know.
Laurel doesn't know.
So what you mean is...
Laurel doesn't know anything.
What you mean is Detective Lance, McKenna, and Tommy now know. That's what you mean by everybody.
Well, and Diggle and Felicity.
that's true. But yeah, props to Diggle and Felicity weren't really in this episode except for being awesome.
Seems like everybody knows.
No Thea in this episode. Anyways, no, I don't know. This last email before we get in here from Paul Mason, the subject saying no spoilers, which is great. It said, Mike and Amanda, prepare to have your minds blown. Re-Arrow, dead to rights. Paul Mason. I love it.
That's it. And I thought that it was... full disclosure, I was watching Supernatural before Amanda got here to watch Arrow. And Supernatural on my PVR always picks up, like, the last 5 seconds of Arrow.
Yeah.
And so I accidentally got the reveal that Alex Kingston showed up at the end of the episode. So I thought that that's what it was. I was like, oh, that's what the big deal is. Okay, yeah. I get it.
But we didn't get it because we didn't know how awesome it was going to be.
I don't think anybody saw that coming.
No.
If anybody saw that coming...
Then you are awesome.
Yeah, you deserve
a cookie. Yeah, I will buy you a cookie because I won't make it. I was going to say I'll make you a cookie.
If you can prove it. You have to prove it.
Yeah, that's
there
it.
Has to be it's evidence impossible. That you...
This is why you write your Arrow journal every day. Yeah. You have to write, I knew this.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's start this episode and watch it again. I don't think I've been this excited to rewatch an episode in a really long time.
See, I'm the opposite. I said to you right after this, right after we watched the episode, I didn't want to do a podcast about it because the episode was so good.
I just wanted to be in it.
Yeah, just like chill out and just soak it all in because it was so much to take. But we got to do what we got to do. We have a responsibility to you fine people. So so here we go. We're starting the episode now at the previously on the shooting arrows at flaming.
Yeah. I'll just say it's not a previously on. It's a well. I mean, that little part is the story so far, which is cool. It never gets old. Too. It is really basically just a montage.
Yeah,
of all
it doesn't get old for you because it's just a hot guy with his shirt off for 5 minutes.
Fair enough. Oh. Anyways, this previously on, the things that they set up, the idea that Paul, I keep calling him by his real name, Paul Blackthorne, but Detective Lance was talking to McKenna about the vigilante and them going after him together.
Yeah.
I thought that that's what this episode would mostly be about, is the idea of, finding that, but it really wasn't. It was secondary to the other stuff that was happening in the episode.
Yeah.
So it was just very interesting that they didn't have a lot. I don't know, it's subtle, and I like that about what they're doing in it. They're not pointing out the obvious stuff, so it's very exciting. So now we're actually, we've just finished and we're up on the helicopter in front of Canada Place.
Yeah.
I love this. This is a great skyline. I think that's actually like the helicopter pad, isn't it?
Yeah, and you can see the CIBC building in the background.
Yeah.
I didn't know they had a CIBC building in Starling City.
It's my bank. I like that bank. It's good. So obviously they know that this assassin guy is coming because they're like, go block off the helicopter pad. And he doesn't seem too upset about, doesn't seem in a hurry at all.
No, Guillermo Barrera is the name of the character. He's actually a character, I don't know if it's Brutal or Brutale because it's, he's Latin American. I don't know. If it's meant to be pronounced
Barrera.
Yeah. He's a character from the comics.
Cool.
He's not gonna get to really show off much of his skill, but he's sort of a knife expert as we briefly see. Really briefly see. It's like, yeah, I can do some things with some knives, but the episode does start off with this really cool fight sequence.
Yeah.
I mean, the helicopter, but
there's a lot of fights in this episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Last week I think was a little bit light on the
action
in this week. But
Oliver makes short work of them.
Yeah.
Nice arrow to the heart. And that's that. That's the end of
Barrera.
But here's Detective McKenna Hall. I think it's McKenna Hall, right?
Yeah,
Detective
that
Hall
sounds right.
Showing up, there's the evidence that the vigilante was here.
Ooh, I'm impressed that she was wearing gloves. I find that that's not consistent on a lot of shows where you're like, hey, it's evidence. You actually really should be wearing gloves. So good for her.
Dog barking in distance, really important.
And then Felicity down on the ground, which I like. I like that Felicity and Diggle are like pals.
Pro tip though, if you're gonna be sparring, take your earrings out because it's a very good way to get yourself hurt. Very, very
those
hurt.
Intense earrings too. It's not just like,
because if she had landed on the side of her head, she'd probably be bleeding. Just so everybody knows, because that seems like a bit of an oversight, but that's okay. We'll let it go. But yeah, sort of alluding to she might need to to defend herself in some of the kind battles. Awesome. I think one of the things that they're doing is that they're combining her with the most recent Speedy Mia. I can never remember her last name. She was brought into the Smallville stuff, but she was first introduced in the storyline Quiver by Kevin Smith. Nice. And she went on to become Speedy Green Arrow's sidekick.
I can see that actually.
I think that's one of the things that they're doing is they're kind of combining Felicity and Mia into one character.
Can I just point out the crosscuts in this episode I really enjoyed?
Yeah,
there's
it's really good editing.
Really good, I don't know, and the camera angles and the shots in this, I don't know.
Like that thing of him trying to do the chin up and he falls and he's like, I'm more of a runner.
Yeah.
But, which is, it's funny because we see him obviously doing the same
all the time.
I think I was reading an interview with, oh my goodness, his name's blanking right now, with Slade.
Manu?
Manu Bennett, on IGN, I think.
Nice.
And they asked if we're going to get to see him do the salmon ladder, and he said, well, he was on the island, so he never really got the opportunity. But we just saw, essentially, he could, if he wanted to.
He could do a salmon ladder. Yeah, he's big, man.
He's massive.
I'm loving that he's
still
in it.
Because Stephen Amell's a big guy. Yeah. And Stephen Amell looks smaller than Manu Bennett, who looks just like a massive mountain of a human being.
I love that they're setting up this character that, sad to us, we know doesn't exist in 5 years or is somewhere, and we don't know what. Well, I mean, I'm sure he exists, but just not in all these worlds.
I think that's going to be something that they're going to.
I'm excited for them to bring
that
back.
We're meant to believe one thing, but
look at that crossfade. This is great. Almost every single crosscut.
But Oliver's going to try and fix that radio instead of working out.
Which I love, because it's not who you think he is. Which is
but now we get McKenna and Oliver sort of having a romantic moment, and it was like, I couldn't quite figure out what was going on.
And
then you realize that they're over for dinner.
Random double date. Like, it's so weird that they're just going over for...
But it's his birthday, so...
I guess.
So you can see, like, They mention, you know, that it's good to finally have his best friend back. Tommy makes this toast. Laurel in that odd pant dress thing from the 70s. It looks like something Princess Leia would wear in Fight City.
I don't know. She can work it. I actually, in all fairness, have
McKenna
a problem with
McKenna.
McKenna
looks much better.
I don't like the ruffle thing. Anyways, this photo. Look at this photo with the black canary. And it's her sister, Sarah. Oh, my God, I didn't catch that the first time. Come on, people. How did I not catch that the first time? I thought it was her. It's not. It's her sister, Sarah.
You didn't catch that when we were watching?
I didn't. Oh, how did I not know?
It's her sister, Sarah, which, spoiler alert, if you're watching this episode for the first time, why are you listening to us while watching it?
But
she may not be dead.
Yeah.
And there's a picture of her with a black canary.
So
Laurel may not be the first black canary. We might not have been too far off.
No.
Maybe it's not Dinah.
Maybe
it's Sarah. Maybe Sarah will be the first black canary on the show.
That is intensely awesome. Lots of people keep like knocking on her door. So we have John Barrowman coming to see his son.
Is Tommy's living there, right? Like, he's moved
in. I guess
is that
he
what's
is.
Happened?
Maybe.
I think that's what's happened.
I think we sort of missed that, because he didn't really have a place to stay.
Because he got kicked out.
I think it was just by, like, osmosis. He just wound up there, so. I mean, it's good. I like them together.
That he traveled through water in order to get there?
He traveled through water?
You said osmosis. I don't think you have a full understanding of what osmosis is. I don't think that word
Use
means
the
what
thing,
you think
Mike.
It means.
Yeah, let's put it on Amanda's. Whatever, it's fine.
Merlin has showed up, Malcolm Merlin, to talk to Tommy Merlin, to invite him to he's getting a humanitarian award, and Tommy has this great line, I love it, it's like, oh, they must have run out of actual humans to get out.
I love it.
This is a good line, and he's totally unfazed, it's like, look, I'm trying to make up, but he's kind of, he's got this... he's always got this intensity to him.
Yeah.
Merlin.
Yeah.
But he... I have a hard time with it. And I get... This is what Ramona was saying, whereas you start to feel for him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know... It's so difficult to trust because they've shown us on this show that we can't trust anything.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's difficult to trust, is he sincere in that he wants to try and fix the relationship with his son? Or, like previously, is he working towards something, right?
So, now this, yeah, that's really interesting because I got that later on when he's escaping and he doesn't leave. He goes to find Tommy over everything else. So it's just this sort of, what is his game plan and what is his intention for everything, right? Like, what does he actually want to get out of this? And I'm wondering if that is true, that it's something to do with Tommy, how is he manipulating him? Or to what end, right?
When we go to the Bloodhaven apartment, that's a nice, not so much Easter egg, but just to sort of point out that this character is in the next city over.
Nice.
In Bloodhaven, which we've gotten references to previously, which is a city from the Star Wars. From the DC Comics. It's where Nightwing hangs out. So, and we get a reveal that this is Deadshot. And China White's here to contract him to kill Merlin on behalf of Moira. So, we have a bad guy hiring a bad guy on behalf of a kind of good guy to kill a bad guy who might not be such a bad guy.
Ooh, that was a good one, Mike.
it's a bit of a confusing show.
It's really confusing.
You can see the tattoos all over him of all of his victims. I like that they keep that consistent.
What's in the briefcase?
What's in the box? Yeah. It's the Deadshot eye. So, you know, as I mentioned in that episode where he first appeared, that it wouldn't be the last time we saw him.
Good call on that one. And then here we're back. So Moira, scheming. They scheme out in the open a lot, I'm noticing, in terms of
scheming,
like,
with Frank, like, as they walk down the hallway.
Yeah.
Seems to the office where they're meeting with the person that they're conspiring to kill.
Yeah. It would have been really cool to be those two extras, because you get to sit in the room with, I don't know, sorry, this is me being all like...
It's interesting, though, because, like, how, they're clearly very important if they're in this meeting, but they're not important enough to have names or lines.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
So it's, I guess it was just that they needed to allude to the fact that there's more than just these three characters that are in on the conspiracy.
But
I don't know. I feel like they might regret that later on, unless these people aren't going to last very long.
I don't know. I feel that they might not. I don't know. I feel as though it's not as solid as I think it once was, whatever Merlin's plan is. I don't know. I feel, because, I don't know. And I think that it's pockets of people. I don't think that was supposed to be everybody by any stretch of the imagination, because he clearly doesn't... Well, I mean, I say clearly, but... sorry, Felicity making jokes about her middle name being Codebreaker. Just, anyways.
It's actually Megan.
It's, yeah.
That's a terrible name. Felicity Megan Smoke? like, way to go, Felicity's parents. Felicity's fictional parents. That has no ring to it whatsoever. Well,
yeah.
I'm sure somebody's going to write us an email and be like, actually, it's an Easter egg referring to blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah. Which something is, which would be good.
Name should have been Mia.
Oh, yeah, that would have been Mia. I didn't expect him to take Tommy out, but it makes sense because it's a cover. I didn't know what his end game here was. There's a lot of stuff that happens in this episode.
But, you know, I think he's trying to find a balance between his espionage detective work and his personal life.
Oh, they do have that whole scene between him and McKenna where they keep talking about that. Yeah. So, you know, okay, I get it. That makes sense.
He's trying to figure out how to fit everything in. So he's genuinely trying to connect with Tommy and be like, look, you know, like, everything's going well. Mm-hmm. We're friends again. Everything's fine. You know, it's cool that you're dating Laurel. We've been through all that stuff. So now they're just out for his birthday because it kind of got ruined the other night by his dad showing up and eating a giant fish.
It's is cool. They have a nice connection in this scene. You really get them. Yeah, I mean, you don't get a lot of emotional moments between the two of them.
I think it was important that they established this so that they could kind of start to break it down towards the end of the episode, right? Because I think had they just had the moment towards the end, it would have fallen a little flat had we not just seen them getting along the way that best friends get along. So very clever placement of this moment, to have it within this episode and to sort of show that these guys, you know, like that Oliver's finally kind of starting to open up a little bit, and Tommy is definitely, you know, he's talking about stuff that they didn't talk about when it happened as they were kids, because obviously they were too young, but I think it's a very well placed and smart move for them to establish the strength of this relationship within this episode.
They establish a few things like that throughout the episode as well. I think that's what I mean. All those smaller moments where you talk about the past with Sarah, and I don't know, they're establishing things so that you can see it all come together. Yes. Which usually in an episode they maybe have time to maybe do one or two of those things to pay off in the end. But I think that there was a lot in this episode that they're really sort of setting up for that.
Yeah,
I'm just this episode. The island isn't connected to what's happening in real life in this episode as much.
No, it's but there's also I don't know that there's really like a moral through line like there is with some of the other episodes.
No.
This is a very plot heavy one. Which like it's a lot of stuff happens.
Yeah.
But it's not metaphorical stuff. No. It's literal stuff. Yeah.
Which I wanted to say worked actually.
Yeah.
Is the thing is that I'm actually invested in Slade and Ollie on the island and these people here.
So here's a heads up, if you're counting money, if you're laundering money in the back of a Chinese restaurant and having your lunch at the same time, don't keep the hot sauce right next to you, because you will get squirted in the ice by a vigilante.
I don't know, they did that weird sort of thing where they follow him with the camera all shaky.
Yeah.
But it's
I like this, the lights go out and then somehow he manages to leap down from somewhere on top of the big guy, take him out, and then, I like that they... It was important that Oliver maintain his secrecy here.
Mm-hmm.
So he speaks in Cantonese.
Mm-hmm.
Or in Cantonese or Mandarin.
I think
he says.
Yeah. Anyways, but it's cool that
he just says he spoke in a perfect accent, definitely Chinese.
Which is part of his... Ollie is so smart, right? It's the idea that he totally gets it.
He blinded him. And then, but I just love that moment where he's back in his seat.
Yeah.
And the guy just walks past him because he's a white dude sitting in a Chinese restaurant. Yeah. Oh, he's definitely Chinese.
Yeah. And we have Slade just bringing this boar in.
That is a massive...
Why doesn't he put it down right away? I don't understand why he's, like, hauling it around the, like, plane.
Because he can.
Okay, fine,
if you could just carry around a boar over your shoulders, I think that you'd be pretty intent on showing that off as well.
Fair enough. Oh, look at that smile from Ollie. You got a little kid. You don't really... He does such a good job of being this Oliver. He sounds
different. Yeah, like, if you close your eyes and you just listen, it doesn't sound like the same. He plays three different, like, four different characters. Because he plays Oliver from 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He plays Oliver that he shows everybody. Like, sort of the goofy, innocent Oliver.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's got the real Oliver, which he only really shows to Diggle, and now sort of to Felicity.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's got Arrow, which is a completely different thing from that.
Mm-hmm.
But he's gotten the radio working, but it can only... They can only hear stuff they can't transmit.
Look at these transitions, every single one of them. Sorry that I keep pointing it out, but it went the fuzzy to blur. Anyways, so we've got him calling Detective Lance on the phone, which is... It's kind of interesting. I like this connection that they're establishing here. That they always have, I don't know, with a superhero in modern day, I feel they always have to have a cell phone with a muted voice and work with the police in some way or someone to help them. So, the thing with this phone call, though, is it didn't really do anything in the end. I guess he was just establishing that he will call him later and then hoping that Detective Hall will help or that Detective Lance will help. And then this weird, he reiterates that they're going to catch the vigilante, but I don't understand what comes of that. Like, it was sort of this sort of
only thing. I think it was an important thing in order to make sure that the police would be there.
Okay.
I think more importantly than it's to make sure that McKenna will be there.
Right.
Because I do feel like she's beginning to suspect.
Right,
They have their moment in a little bit.
And, yeah, that's true.
And it makes me think that she gets that something's going on,
mm-hmm.
and I think she might suspect it, but not have any reason to believe it.
Yeah. Well, and I guess, it's true is that when they're there, they don't seem as invested in helping Merlin not get killed as they do catching the vigilante, which sucks. Right, because then he has China White, and instead of they really are after him. So, this is a beautiful shot. This spin around of Stephen Amell. This is sort of the montage-y part of the middle of the episode, which they haven't really done before. I don't know. I really like it that they're sort of going through everybody's stories and catching us up with their sort of angsty pain. And I don't know. I really liked it. I didn't know what to think of it as I was sort of going through, but it's the emotional sort of. I don't know. It had a movie feel to it. Maybe that's what it was, in that I didn't feel like as though I was watching a sort of a serialized television show. I felt as though it was sort of, I don't know, really beautifully shot, this episode. Those earrings are great.
Moira's having some issues, though. Mm-hmm. Her guilt's, I think, getting the better of her.
Look how beautiful that is. That's awesome. What city is that? It had, like, a big clock in the bottom. I want to know what these cities are.
Yeah, they're somebody great. Needs to point that out to us. Somebody needs to tell us.
I need to know where they are. They have to be somewhere. Anyways, so he definitely obviously lives there with Laurel because he's getting ready.
So he's gonna go to this humanitarian award thing for his father, even though he doesn't particularly want to. And Laurel is too busy with work, so she's not gonna come. But I think that's so that she can be placed so that they can have this nice reveal. Her mom calling and she's going to ignore the call.
Who you emote.
Yeah, but not after thinking about it.
Emoting.
Emotionally for a moment.
Yeah. And then, so the big humanitarian awards gala. Exciting. I really like this space. Find out where it is.
You ever notice how he never walks into frame?
He's always
standing there. Ah. Yeah, he's always revealed. Like, he's like Batman. Like, he just is always sneaking up on people. But that's I think they do it intentionally to give him this, like, foreboding thing where, like, he's omnipresent.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's like really and I think what that shot was meant to allude to is that he knows.
Yeah.
And it didn't really have a payoff later on, but I still get the sense that Malcolm knows. Malcolm knows that something's to go down.
Actually know?
I don't think that he trusts Moira.
I can see that he doesn't trust. Yeah.
He might not know that they're going to try and kill him tonight.
Yeah.
But I think that he knows that she's conspiring against him.
Yeah. Okay. I can see that. Which, I don't know, it adds all these layers to it.
Because I think at the end of the episode, and we'll talk about it when we get there, but I think at the end of the episode that he's setting her up.
Oh.
Right, that he knows that she had something to do with it, but that he's putting her in a position to uncover that. I love this that Kelly Hu as China White she's got the white dress and the black hair, sort of the swap of her normal color palette. But that's her actual hair, and in a minute she's gonna take off a fake wig to reveal. The hair that is a wig. I love it when stuff like that happens.
Yeah.
And they're like, she's got a wig on right now, but that wig is actually her real hair. Yeah. And she'll take that off.
Yeah.
They'll make it look like she's taking off a wig, but underneath it, she'll just have another wig.
Yes. So Ollie really trying to integrate his real life in midst of all this chaos. Like, this is the thing, is that they knew, or he knew, that something was going down today. Someone was getting killed. I can't imagine that he didn't know that was happening, right? And I don't know. And still,
I feel
he's
like
having...
he knew that it was going to take place soon, but he didn't know where.
Well, they said tomorrow. They knew when it was going
to.
So, anyways, but he's just trying to, I guess, be a real person, which I can't tell because the McKenna thing. I don't think, is there an ulterior motive here right now, or is it just sort of him wanting to enjoy McKenna?
I think that it's. I think it started that way in the last episode, right? But. But I don't think that that's his motivation anymore. No, I think that he's just found that he can relate to her a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, he can be like a real person. I think he really has that desire to be a real person. And this is sort of a thing that I'll just throw out there, and it might make people mad, but the reason he didn't want to do it with Laurel is because he cared too much about her. And I think he finds it's okay with McKenna because
he can brush her off.
And he's not as invested at the start.
And so. I think the other aspect of it is that McKenna leads as hectic and difficult of a life.
Yeah.
Because they're both in law enforcement, right. I'd say. So, I mean, the comment that she makes later on, he comes to apologize and she says, it's fine, I would have five more minutes and I would have had to leave anyways.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that that's what it is that with Laurel, he'd constantly have to be explaining himself. Yeah. But with McKenna, he knows that they're...
on the same wavelength.
Their schedules are going to sync up a little bit better, maybe.
Yeah.
So I think that there's an aspect of that.
Yeah.
Which
is good. This, they like their glass podiums on the CW. Yeah.
So we get the reveal that we were in fact correct, and that Merlin's motivations here for the undertaking have to do with the fact that his wife was killed,
mm-hmm.
was murdered,
mm-hmm. and
in the glades. Like he didn't say in the glades, but we get
that idea that it's
in the glades that it was a purse snatching. And that she was shot. And he has that great moment where he says it and kind of acknowledges it,
mm-hmm.
and then he looks to Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
And you get that connection between the mm-hmm. two of them where it's like they're finally going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Which is sort of like, it's this, something. This is where all the friction is coming from.
Right.
And so I think this is, again, what Ramona's talking about, that you feel for him because you feel like he really is trying to make a connection with his son.
Yeah.
He's trying to make up for all of the time that he's sort of screwed up.
Yeah.
I
love it. They're just killing people. Look at that shot.
I love his turn because he's not Malcolm Merlyn in that moment. He's the Dark Archer. Right?
Yeah.
Like he's all action-y, right? Like he's ready to beat somebody up if he has to.
Yeah.
So he's, you know, he's ready to do his thing.
Oh, which is great. I don't know, I just find it odd that they didn't notice that a whole bunch of people were dying. Because everybody had left yet. Yeah. They were just sort of all...
Well, even after this commercial break, when it comes back, there's still...
People still leaving the building, even
calmly, like, sort of in a... Yeah, like in a...
Orderly fashion.
Oh, it's so intense. We both just got lost in it for a second there because it's such a tense moment. Dead shot. Like, what's going to happen? We already know what happens.
I know.
I just have to say, Kelly Hu looks amazing in that dress.
She's phenomenal.
Like that's incredible because I find that kind of dress like that really like I don't know, it's got those really bold lines to it. It's really hard to pull off, and she does. She looks really good in it.
And then she fights in it. Yeah, like, and then she kicks it. That's awesome.
Yeah.
It makes her... God, I just love how Paul Blackthorne can just be in all these scenes and not say anything and just still be...
He can just pout his lips out and scowl a little bit and it's... A scowl is worth a thousand
words. So Ollie holding off the bad guys so that Tommy and his dad can run upstairs. I honestly don't understand how there's not more bodyguards. It's his own building. Whatever. I'll get over it, but it's cool. So
he's a little cocky and arrogant in this, though, and that's one of the reasons why I feel like he can't... Like he saw this coming.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't think that anything happens in this city without Merlin knowing. Like, he says it in his speech, in his acceptance speech. He says Starling City, and then he corrects himself, my city.
Ah.
Right? And that's not... Yeah. That was him, like, almost slipping for a second with the fact that that's the way that he feels. Yeah. There it was. She took the wig off to reveal the wig. which I just thought was great.
Yeah.
Although, like, the wig that she does wear, the white wig, is an amazing one because looks like her hair.
Oh, yeah. It's great. This whole scene is awesome.
Sometimes fake hair can look pretty bad.
She can kick ass in that dress. That's awesome.
Yeah, she's pretty awesome.
So this, here we have Merlin just completely taking out a guy, and Tommy is so good in this episode. He really had to play a lot of different sort of emotional beats, I guess. It really bothers me that China White is not a talker. She didn't give Ollie any information about who was trying to get killed and all these things. She just is fighting him.
I love it because she's a professional.
Exactly. That's what I mean. She's a legitimate... No, it's good, right? You want the villains to be all like, you're not foiling my plan to take over the city by killing these people in this particular fashion.
No, it's good. It's a lot of... we talk about it a lot. And they hold to archetypes a lot on this show. But they're also improving archetypes a lot. And there's good villains and there's bad villains on this show. And I mean that in matter of quality, not their morality.
Oh, and Tommy almost got to see the Dark Archer.
He almost saw it. It's not really a panic room as much as it is a bat cave. Yeah. an arrow cave of his own quiver, let's say. Some of the villains on this show are just so great in that they're very understated.
Yeah.
And they're just bad people. Like, and for China White, she's very good at what she does, and she's got this whole martial arts thing. But it's... She's a really good bad guy because she's just a professional.
Yeah, right? I know. Yeah, she's just
a consummate professional.
And that's what I really like about this show is that they bring in so many of those people. Again, Deadshot, a professional assassin. It's not these bad guys plotting all of these big things.
Which is we'll go back to Vertigo, which is one of the reasons why it's such a problem with him, because he was not a professional. He was just a goofy, silly cartoon character, and he just. Like I said, on Smallville, he would have been fine, but on this show, he just felt so out of place. And then the following week, we had a character who was like, well, that's what he should have been like. That's what Vertigo should have been like. Why couldn't they have just done this as a two-part episode and combined the stories, right? We'll say this. Their batting average is definitely up there, because they're hitting him out of the park more often than they're... striking out with their bad guys. So we kind of talked over the whole part with Merlin getting shot.
And McKenna coming to...
And McKenna showing up.
To shoot Ollie and,
letting China White get away.
Which bothered me so much.
Merlin's okay, or so it seems, because he's got his bulletproof vest on.
And then we don't see what happened to China White as well. She just sort of is gone. So her and Ollie disappear. And we also don't see what happens to Deadshot. Deadshot disappears, so...
Well, Deadshot, as a smart villain, keeps his distance because he's a sniper. So he's just far away, and he'll just run away and live to fight another day.
And so here's the part that we saw from the commercial. We didn't know who Tommy was going to shoot.
Yeah.
Did we sort of suspect that it might be Ollie?
I felt like that.
Yeah, but we did not expect this reversal, right? So the idea that... So explaining, so the Karari, is that what it is? The poison that we dealt with a couple episodes ago? So
a couple seasons ago, It feels like that sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, he sort of... He sees the bullet, and I think that he suspects this be a dead shot. And he gives it the sniff, tells that it's the poison, and he recognizes the MO, which is very important later on.
Yeah.
Which I didn't clue in on until towards the end of the episode when he tells Diggle.
I don't think he needed to reveal himself here. I think that he could have found other ways to convince Tommy to give his dad a blood transfusion.
Maybe, but they don't have time.
This is so insane.
But this was a great moment. This was incredible.
So good. Look at Tommy's
lost
face.
It. We
oh
lost
my
it
gosh.
When we were watching.
We didn't know what to do. This is so much. So many feels. And then they just get down to business. Ollie knows a lot about blood transfusions.
Well, he just knows a lot about everything. He's Batman. Write this character like Batman. I mean, Green Arrow and Batman are the same character. They have personality differences, but they're the same archetype. They're the same superhero archetype. type, so...
They didn't have to actually put the needle in. I just noticed how they cut that so that they didn't actually have to show the needle going into the skin. Just kind of brilliant. Sorry, I just love little things like that where they can make it believable and... Anyways. So, sorry to cut you off. You were talking
about... No, they do an excellent job of this. And in making all of this very believable. Mm-hmm. And again, like, you're right. The way he had his hand there.
Yes, you can't really see it, yeah.
They hide the actual moment of puncture.
And I just love that Tommy is okay. You're the vigilante. Why? They're dealing with it really well, I think.
Yeah.
And it's leading to the heartbreaking moment at the end of the episode.
Yeah. It's great because he doesn't have an immature reaction to it.
No.
In the moment, especially, he goes, like, it's much more important that we just deal with this. Mm-hmm. And when Oliver says later, he goes, okay. They don't even need to say, Oliver doesn't need to say, you can't tell anybody.
Yeah,
it's understood, right?
Yeah.
Which is just a very mature decision and writing.
Tommy has become such a different character over the season, just in terms of, like, how you're right, his maturity and all that. And so here we go. So this is the Detective Lance moment where he points out, he's not dumb. He gets it. He's like, hey, how come the only people that have not been killed are your dad and Ollie's dad? So, I don't know. I'm watching McKenna's face during this the second time I watch it because I want to see how she's reacting to all this.
And,
this beautiful, could you see the undertone in where he's saying, I don't know who the hell that is?
Yeah.
It's where he's genuinely saying, I don't know who that is because it sure is not my friend. It's just this interesting...
Well, because he doesn't know, like, he thinks that he knows Oliver.
And he just, yeah.
But does he? No, of course he doesn't, right? Because there's all this other stuff going on.
Brilliant.
And then we get this jump back to the island, and the radio is picking up a frequency, and it's fires. So they've tuned into the soldiers, and we get another Odyssey reference to the Scylla, which is a monster from the Odyssey.
Which is cool. I like that they're sort of having a through line of this. So. Pretty exciting. So we're finding out, so now that they can see what's actually happening on the island and sort of be more tuned into the goings on, which I like, because it's leading up, they have now a game plan, right? So they're not just going to sit around. This is sort of the suit up moment. I love this.
Yeah, I loved it. He gets his swords and he's like, this moment he pauses, he says, am I going alone?
Aww.
And Oliver just kind of makes the motion towards, and I really thought he was going to pick up a bow and arrow and come with them, but he picks up this little tiny knife.
I think that they have to, the moment that he picks up the bow and arrow has to be sort of...
Has to be a big deal.
It has to be a big deal, but I love that he goes, he's like, sure, I'm going to come with you, and I'm going to grab this little knife.
The smallest knife.
Yeah.
The smallest weapon here.
Yeah.
Because... We've seen him with other weapons in that hideout, right?
Yeah, that's true.
That's what he goes
for. So, you know, whatever. He's practical.
Now we're back at the arrow cave, at the quiver.
Yeah. And so I love that sort of Felicity and Diggle are now just sort of waiting for him to come home and being like, so how was your day? And then you get this really intense moment, which I really like, just as opposed to, because Felicity's just finding out about this, but... We get called back to the fact that Diggle's brother was killed by Deadshot. So I think that, I mean, he's just doing a great job here of really recognizing how much that hurts, right? The whole idea
with one line of dialogue. Well, two, because he says Lawton's alive.
Yeah.
But really, like, in that exchange with very little dialogue and just really the emotion, we get everything. And I had forgotten. Like, I had completely forgotten that Deadshot was responsible for killing Diggle's brother. But it was in that moment, before Oliver even reminds us, that I turned to you and I was like, oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Deadshot's the one who killed his brother. Yeah. And just a great connection with the characters. Mm-hmm. Back to the island, and we've got this Russian-made S-300 anti-aircraft missile launcher. That's got to be computer animation. Like, that has to be fake.
Some of the stuff that they're bringing... Someone on Facebook pointed out that we were talking about the aircraft sort of terminal, the MASH type sort of air controller, which actually existed. We didn't know. I don't know. Maybe they're, like, these getting all these.
I think he even said that there was one for sale.
Yeah, he just on Craigslist a while ago, which is kind of cool. Yeah. So, you know, this crazy military equipment is very practical. So, anyway, so are they at the hospital right now? So he's coming to check up on, you know, very conveniently after all is said and done. And
yeah.
I'm wondering if McKenna here says, when she says our lives are complicated, if the reason that she wants to keep going out with Ollie is to figure out who the vigilante, if he's actually the vigilante. I'm just wondering, that could be an undertone here. Because I totally thought she was going to break up with him, and then she decided to instead keep going. And I think that would be a good reason to do so, is that she sort of gets it. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I don't think she's dumb. I think she, like...
I don't think she's dumb. I don't think any of the characters on the show are dumb.
Fair enough.
So we've been shown that none of them are, that everybody is making decisions for very logical reasons. Mm-hmm. Maybe with the exception of Laurel and Thea, they tend to get the short end of that stick. Yeah. But I think that you might be onto something there. Mm-hmm. That she suspects something, mm-hmm. and so she's going to see it through.
I'm really curious as to how. So we're here in the hospital, and how Merlin is processing this idea that the vigilante saved him. Because he obviously, from the big showdown, I'm wondering if he's seeing if he could maybe manipulate him, or what...
He definitely had a moment there when mm-hmm. it was revealed to him that the vigilante is the one who saved him.
Mm-hmm.
But then he goes very quickly into this whole...
With the music change that was oh so not subtle at all, where you just get this
sort of...
He met
a man in Parbat.
Yeah.
Wherever that is.
Which Ramona was talking about, he does become sort of somewhere really creepy in the Middle East. Here, yeah. Which is, I don't know. But it's, you get this genuine, this is the part that makes him such a creepy bad guy, is that you get the genuine aspect to his character in this. So the idea of, and he's almost going to tell him! He's almost going to tell him! And I think that Tommy will find out.
Yeah.
And it'll be a big thing as to whether or not, I actually could imagine Ollie getting mad. I think that Tommy will find out what it is and not tell Ollie. It's sort of where I'm leaning towards, is like what would happen out of all of this is that Tommy will ally with his dad over Ollie. Mm-hmm. Because now that possibility is open to us, the idea of what's going to happen with Tommy. And you get it near the end here where he just is not having it with his with Ollie. So, Merlin, so really intense here with Moira. And sort of, you know, acting from a bed with just your head, you know, go John Barrowman. But the idea of I don't know why Moira would go there. Is she trying to save face to be like...
Yeah, well, I think if she's the first one to show up, then, you know, she's not under suspicion. But I think that Merlin's got his own suspicions.
Yeah. So this is, the greatest scene. Here, where again you bring it back to Tommy, that's one of the first episodes, right, where he killed those guys, and you really get that nothing is forgotten.
Mm-hmm. And everything on this show happens for a reason. It's all so connected, and this is a great example of it, because all of these things that have been happening that we know about, now Tommy is putting everything together. Yeah. Right.
These guys are doing such a good job with these close shots and just being really sort of connected and present. And Stephen Amell, oh my gosh, he's just so fabulous. Sorry, but you get this idea, were you ever going to tell me, is the thing that it's to Tommy. It wasn't about the killing. It wasn't about all that stuff. Yeah. It was really just about the, you weren't going to tell me. And it's just very heartbreaking. And then Alex Kingston is here with straight hair, which is kind of weird.
Exciting to you, but her reveal to me almost is overshadowed by everything that's happened so far in this episode.
That's true.
Until like that last line that she says.
Yeah, you do. Well, you get it. It's sort of a mundane thing. She's sort of just here and apologizing and Laurel scoffed just like her daddy. It's good. She took that on. She was the one that scoffed.
Everybody's got to take a turn at scoffing at some point on the show.
There's a lot of scenes that took place in this balcony or in this hallway this episode. So, and then here we go. She tells her it's about Sarah. So, who we saw die. Well,
we saw fall
out of the ship. I don't know. And then saying that she might be alive, and it ends there on Laurel's face then, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, it's true. We saw her get sucked out of the ship, but what else? I'm just kind of like, what else could have...
Look, the saying goes, no body, no death. I said that when Deadshot was shot through the eye, and then Oliver has that moment where he turns around and the body's gone, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know, maybe.
I think. I can't remember, but...
No, I think Diggle goes back, and then there's
Diggle
a body.
Goes back, yeah, and yeah, 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 yeah. And that's the thing, like, no body, no death, right? Like, yeah. if you don't see the dead body,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't get buried or something of that sort, then, you know, it's fair game. Especially in the comic book world. And, like, yeah. Man, people come back from all sorts of stuff. Yeah. Like, for instance, I don't want to put out huge spoilers, but recently a character in the Batman series met with a very unfortunate fate. And people are all up in arms about it, and if you read Batman Inc., you know what I'm talking about. Or if you're on Tumblr, you know what I'm talking about. And people are so upset about it, and they're flipping out. And it's ridiculous, because Batman died a couple years ago. And he was gone for all of, I think, a year and a half, maybe. But he was never really gone. I mean, like, here's the explanation, okay? This is just a little bit of Batman mythology for everybody, so that they understand just how crazy comic book death, I'm using quote fingers, is. Batman trained himself mentally, okay, to do two things. If his memory was ever erased or his mind wiped in any way, he trained his mind so that the part of him that is Batman, the part of him that's the muscle memory and the detective skills and all of that, is segmented off from his personality so that should something happen to the Bruce Wayne identity, he could still be Batman. Okay? And then because he's trained with ninjas and apparently astral projection or something, in the moment before he was killed by Darkseid, he managed to, through some sort of mental trick, transport his mind, the mind of Bruce Wayne, back in time. Okay. And then traveled throughout time through different Batmen and sort of, like, in an attempt to get back to the present time so that he could come back. And then he does, okay? The physical body of Bruce Wayne is dead. I haven't read it, so I don't know exactly how he comes back. But somehow he manages to come back.
Wow.
And, like, because his mental state traveled through time.
Crazy.
That's what happens in comic books.
That's
okay?
What happens in science fiction in general. I feel like there's a different world.
But like, I'm using very specific DC yeah. Comics examples because that's the realm that we're yeah. in right now. And granted, Arrow is much more reality based, but it so, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They'll figure out a way to explain all this away, is my point. Because, I mean, like, people used to think that Superman, when he died, and then the explanation that he wasn't really dead, that his. Supercharged Kryptonian body just in that moment put him into a stasis in order for his body to regenerate that mimicked death. That, like, his metabolism slowed down to the point that his heart wasn't beating anymore so that his individual cells could recharge. He had to be put into a Kryptonian rehabilitation chamber or whatever they called it, in the Fortress of Solitude. And then he eventually came back in the awesome black and silver suit with the mullet. Because I guess he didn't get a haircut while he was in that, in the chamber, revitalization chamber.
That's awesome.
Which then ended up, when Superboy died later, in his fight with Superboy Prime, they did the exact same thing. So, like, people used to get all up in arms about that, but then when it happened with Superboy, people were like, oh, okay, yeah, it makes sense. It happened before, right? Like, this is comics, right? Like, yeah. it's the way that genre goes, is that we can explain anything away with any sort of pseudoscience. And like I said, Arrow is much more grounded in reality, but it's never stopped them. It didn't stop them from bringing back Deadshot, who had an arrow in the eye, okay? Yeah. The dude took an arrow to the face and came back from it, so...
Without an explanation. I don't know. I feel that beats...
With no explanation.
That beats Felicity getting a collar put on her off stage in the past episode.
Off screen.
Sorry. Theater is where I am. but it's a... I don't know.
I suppose... It's probably in the comic. It's probably in the digital...
That they'll explain
Deadshot.
I don't know.
I was taking a peek. I took a peek the other day. At one of the paper issues, mm-hmm. and it does seem like the comic, each issue, because they kind of do it in three parts, like every because they release it, I think, every week, mm-hmm. And then they collect it together once a month, same way that they're doing Smallville, and it looked to me like each of those pieces takes place in between episodes.
Oh, wow.
So who knows? There might be an explanation forthcoming about how Deadshot managed to get out of there and get himself some medical attention, I hope. Hope he didn't just pull the arrow out of himself. And just
The thing that bothers me the most. You're supposed to make a tourniquet. It really bothers me. You don't pull things out. You let the doctors do that.
How do you make a tourniquet for your face? I just need to reiterate. You took an arrow to the face and then showed up, like you said, with no explanation. Just a sort of milky white eye. Like, that's it. Not even that bad. I mean, if you're watching The Walking Dead, the governor got a glass shard to the eye. And...
Can we? I haven't caught up on Romance Season 2.
I don't think of these things as... spoilers on The Walking Dead because the TV show is catching up to like the comic, which was like that's from the comics from like 5 years ago.
Oh, well, yeah, okay, so, fair enough. Sorry. Maybe I should start reading the comics because the show is just too scary. I really want to know what happens, and I can't watch it by myself, and it's just this really awful sort of situation. But good to know.
You're not caught up with like the first half of season two.
I am up until the barn. The barn was opened.
Oh. That's right. I'm in season 3.
You are.
First half of season 3.
Sorry. Okay. I'm only in season 2.
I forget that there's that much. Total tangent. Walking Dead. Great show.
Sci-fi.
Awesome comic.
Yeah.
Up until right about the point that they're at right now in the show.
Oh, no.
At which point the comic, I stopped reading it because it started getting silly. And apparently it's gone totally downhill. So I'm hoping the show doesn't go that way.
Exciting. There's some great stuff on television. This is what happens. We just always tangent into awesome things. So, really great episode of Arrow, and I really love that it's staying strong and good going into a second season after these last couple. So, I mean, obviously we're over the hump here.
Staying strong, but getting stronger.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we've said it before that they're sort of weaving together the fabric of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like every episode not every episode, but a lot of the episodes reinforce that every single time. Like, it's just another layer on top.
Mm-hmm.
It's another thread going through that's just making it stronger and stronger and stronger. And the fact that early in the season they knew where they were going so that they could set stuff up so that this moment with Tommy in this episode when Oliver reveals himself... is a huge moment and will have repercussions, actual repercussions, not sort of the willy-nilly repercussions like we saw in Smallville where like Chloe found out that Clark has superpowers, but it's going to be like
actually
a season and a half before she ever confronts him about it or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean it got to be a little bit ridiculous on that show sometimes. Mm-hmm.
But in this, everything's really immediate. And when something happens, it happens. Like, and they don't
drag
it out. They're
playing for keeps. Yeah. That's the thing. Is that like they're going with everything they've got. And I think initially with the intent of like, we may only have one season to prove that we can be an awesome show.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just pull out all the stops. But now that they know that they're getting a season 2, I think they're more importantly going like, we can't stop now. Because we get a second season, which means that we get to do all of the things that we wanted to do. Because I think with this, it's a snowball, right?
Yeah,
if they're going to get a season 2, they're going to get a season 3, and they're going to get a season 4. So, like, it's just going to keep going.
And I want to point out, too, because we talk, as much as people come back from the dead or whatever, the thing, the fact that things happen and they have repercussions, it means that the stakes in this show, I never question. Yeah. The stakes are always real because things happen for real. There's not, there's no retcon, there's not, so far.
Nobody gets hit over the head and forgets.
Oh God, it's the worst.
Because, like, if this were an episode of Smallville, Clark would have revealed himself to Pete.
Yeah.
And then Pete would have been like, I can't believe it. I can't believe you didn't trust me. And then right before the end of the episode, he would have gotten hit over the head. And or he would have found this out because he was dosed with some sort of meteor rock which would have conveniently erased his memory for the past 24 hours. And, you know, the last 5 minutes of the episode would have been them just making sure that nobody knows that he's Superman. But with this show, it's like, no. Tommy knows now. Yeah. And Tommy is now also finding out about his father. And so he's going to have to reconcile these two things, and it is going to have serious consequences for all of the characters involved. Mm-hmm. And that makes this 2 week break just intensely, like, we need the break. We're happy to have a break. Yeah. Thank you very much, everybody at Arrow, for giving us a 2 week break. But we're excited to get back to it.
Yeah.
Which we should talk about. What's the title of the next episode?
The Huntress Returns.
The Huntress Returns.
It's very
matter of fact.
Exactly what it is.
And so we've got the preview, which shows the Huntress returning.
Yeah.
Wednesday, so March 20th.
And you do get a little bit of, Tommy. Was that in the Arrow Cave? Because that would be pretty awesome if Huntress and Tommy were in the Arrow Cave. And I think that they are. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, they totally
are. They are. That's exciting. There. Yeah, those are the computers behind them, I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure that's the Arrow Cave. So
No, they're in the cave, because look at all the stuff on the table.
So the thing is, this little clip is telling me more about what I actually want to see in this episode, because I would like this episode to have less Huntress, more Tommy, and the idea that Tommy is finding out about all of this stuff. And, you know what, though? It's going to be crucial for Tommy to realize who Ollie is, like, surrounding himself with.
Yeah.
The idea that the Huntress is not so much a good guy, right? Yeah. But that Ollie is sort of letting her be there, and obviously this is not going to have really good repercussions for...
Well, maybe it'll also show him that there are worse people out there than all of them.
Yeah,
and that what he's doing is not so bad.
Yeah. But, I don't know. I'm really interested to see sort of how
it looks like a full episode.
Yeah. Oh, and there's a...
And, you know, the majority of this show is very toned down on the sex.
Yeah.
Except when the Huntress shows up, which case they just crank it up to 11. I think we saw some strippers dancing on poles, and we saw her in an outfit that looked a little bit more revealing than last time.
Yeah.
So, oh man, good stuff. It looks like it's going to be a good return.
Oh,
so
I can't wait.
So we got a little ways to wait, but in the meantime. You guys have you guys can jump on Facebook and you can communicate with us, and we can discuss what we thought about. They left us with enough to talk about for the next 2 weeks, so we should talk about it, right?
So find us on facebook.com/quiverpodcast. We're on there. Me and Mike like to talk to you as well, and so you'll see us there liking and chatting, and also on the Twitters. So Twitter, we're at Quiver Podcast, so you can follow us there.
Yeah.
We also have email, which we like, so mail@quiverpodcast.com. If you're sort of yearning to talk about Quiver, write us a little email. That'll be a good way to talk.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then finally, our website, quiverpodcast.com, which has comments that you can also talk. Look at all the ways that you can connect with us. How exciting. It's good. And I really like when people have been tweeting me personally, which I like. I use that Twitter more than we use the Quiver Podcast Twitter, which we need to be better at. I think that I'm going to start tweeting from Quiver Podcast. But you can also tweet me, so @AKonkin, so AKonkin.
Well, the Quiver Twitter is mostly about keeping up to date with what we're posting on the site and on Facebook.
Yeah.
Because we do the majority of our... updates and that sort of thing on Facebook, because it's just the quickest way. Everybody's always on Facebook, so it's the quickest way to do it. But yeah, definitely. We should be keeping in contact a little bit more on on the Twitter feed.
But I mean, you're pretty active on your personal Twitter as well, right? So
I am. I'm a Tumblr guy though. Like Tumblr is really my social network of choice. So if people do want to communicate with me that way, it's arcwolf.tumblr.com.
Cool.
I follow an Arrow Tumblr. I don't know the name of it off the top of my head, but I do tend to reblog stuff from that Tumblr quite a bit, because it's one of the only ones I find that Tumblr has a thing called GIF sets, where they have a bunch of GIFs, and not a lot of people are making them for Arrow, but this one blog makes tons of them, so
excellent.
I try and reblog it as much as possible, just to get the Arrow love out there and introduce more people to the show.
So that's good, because my Tumblr is so static. So Twitter is where you'll find me mostly, and I guess Tumblr is where you'll find Mike mostly. So it's good if you.
But you'll find us both on Facebook, which is why I say Facebook's the best way, because
they're every day, all the time. So well, thanks for listening. It's been awesome to talk at you again for another week. So episode 16, really excited. We will see you on March 20th. Well, I mean, around March 20th, talking about The Hunter's Returns. So we will catch you later, Arrowheads.
Take off.
I'm not gonna get home till 10:30.
Oh, except it wasn't recording. Just
you.
Kidding.
Just kidding. I saw it recording, but even my body had a visceral reaction to that I just didn't even. My body didn't process as fast as my mind did. It was upsetting. Mike, I'm already stressed out. Don't do that to me.
You know that's going on the end of the episode
so
now,
incredibly
right?
Incredibly stressed out.
I haven't hit stop yet.
Don't. So
this is going after the
it's
credits.
Okay,
I'm
all up. Oh,
that was upsetting.